welcome to another edition of Little Atoms, the radio show about ideas. This week's show is a special edition, recorded over the weekend of the 3rd and 4th of October at the Amazing Meet in London. The Amazing Meeting, or TAM, London, saw around 550 sceptics converge for a celebration of science, critical thinking and entertainment in the heart of the City of London as a fundraising enterprise on behalf of the James Randi Educational Foundation. The show consists of a number of short interviews with guests, speakers and attendees, conducted by Little Atoms' own Neil Denny, i.e. me, and Rebecca Watson of the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe and Skeptic podcast. So join Rebecca and myself as we stalk the corridors of the Mermaid Centre and bother the guests. It should be stated that these interviews are irreverent and light-hearted and could feasibly be only of interest to people who were actually at TAM. So if you couldn't get tickets, had no intention of being there, or have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about, well, I hope you enjoy the show anyway. A normal Little Atom service will be resumed next week. Hello, what's your name?
Rebecca Watson.
And what are you doing at TAM, Rebecca?
I happen to run skeptic.org, and also I'm a podcaster on the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. What's your name?
My name's Neil Denny.
And what are you doing at TAM London?
I produce a podcast called Little Atoms, and I'm here to make a podcast at TAM.
That's funny, because actually I was going to make a podcast for the Skeptic's Guide.
You know what would be really cool?
What's that?
Why don't we do it together?
Ah, that's not a bad idea. What do you have in mind?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, it's a gathering of scientists and skeptics and rationalists, and, you know, we could put some real hard work into it, come up with some really great interviews, make a really important record of the weekend.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. I really like that. I'm just going to throw this one out there. Tell me what you think. How about instead we do hardly any work at all, we have a good time, drag fun people into a closet where we record them telling bawdy jokes and having a good time.
Yeah, screw it. Let's do that.
Yeah, awesome.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Hello, what's your name?
I'm Brian Cox, and I'm a professor of particle physics. I work at CERN in Geneva and make the odd telly program.
It's very kind of you to take a break from the giant Bond villain-esque base underneath the countryside of Switzerland, where you physicists are basically plotting to destroy the world. So why have you come to TAM?
Well, to give the world an extra week. Because if I'm not there, then obviously the process of destroying the universe is slowed.
It's very kind of you. Are you asking for any money, any kind of ransom?
No, we just think that really the human race has run its course. Irrationality has triumphed over rationality. It's the ultimate benevolent skeptic gesture to just take the whole lot out, I think. Really, that's my view.
I agree, because, you know, a lot of religions seem to have the market cornered on crazy people trying to kill everyone, so...
Well, that's it, and I think it's time for skeptics to step forward. And so, really, that's what we're doing.
In the talk yesterday, you mentioned everybody will know that when the Hadron Collider was switched on, there was a problem, and it's been being... They've had the men in to fix it, basically, for the last few months. So what position are we at now with it?
Oh, it's fixed now. It's got a new protection system. And this is serious now. This is a serious bit. It's got a new protection system in. So we have the same fault again, then it shouldn't damage anything. And it will... We've already... last weekend, actually, so it's the end of September, we've tested all the injection lines, which means all the particles have come to the door of the LHC. It'll be cold in about a week from now, so sort of the mid-October. That's right, isn't it? That's a week from now, isn't it? What month is it?
You trust me? Where am I?
And then we hope to have collisions, which is real data, before Christmas.
When do you think you'll be able to start interpreting the data?
Well, immediately. I mean, everyone's been waiting for a decade or more for this stuff. So there'll be people crawling all over it. And you can do technical measurements now. So things like the number of electrically charged particles in the collisions, things like that. Because even though it's at a lower energy, we run at half energy to start with now to sort of ramp up. That's still 3.5 times the energy of anything we've had before. So you can do these technical... They won't be headline measurements, but they're going to be interesting to particle physicists. Big ones... we're going to run for a year now, if all goes well. So we will have interesting results, I think, by the end of next year.
And a small black hole somewhere thereafter?
Well, you know, I mean, if you can make those things, quite honestly, then you'll be making them all the time. They'll be in, as we know, they'll be in cosmic ray collisions anyway, raining down on us. And yeah, we'll make them if they're there. It's, the trick is seeing them. They are actually really, really, that signature is difficult to see. So, but we'll be looking for it. But in all seriousness, it's more difficult to tip the universe over the edge than just building a big pipe underneath Geneva. You've got, you know, it's quite robust, the universe, believe it or not. It'll resist our attempts to break it.
It would be the idea when this existed for billions of years and then humans come along and just a couple thousand managed to kill it all.
Well, yeah.
See, that, I'm worried that's how you'll discover it started, you see. That's the point.
Don't worry.
Well, hopefully we'll make it to Christmas then. So thank you very much, Brian, for speaking to us.
Thanks.
Hello there, sir. What's your name?
I'm Sid. Nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you, Sid. And what are you doing here at TAM London?
I'm actually on the staff rota, so I'm going around, running around like a blue ass fly, making sure that everyone has everything they need.
Have you actually managed to see any of the talks?
Yes, I was here at 8 o'clock in the morning, saw the first talk. Well, Richard Wise wasn't really a talk, he was just being bold and funny, which is always quite amusing. And then Brian Cox did an excellent talk about physics and the Large Hadron Collider. Which is quite amusing. It was massive. I've never seen a hard-on as big as that. And then Simon Singh did his... Oh, John Ronson did an excellent talk about his book and stuff that is being made into a film. And that was quite enjoyable. And he's a very funny chap, even though he's got a very quiet voice. He's very close to the microphone. And it did put me off a bit.
Yeah, we should tell him that. Yeah. Definitely.
I think he'll take it personally, though. He seems so delicate.
He is. He's like a small fellow, isn't he? But he's quite sweet. He's like a little... You should make a little action figure out of him, like a little cuddly toy or something, because he's quite small and he's got fluffy hair. As long as he doesn't stare at you, I don't think he's managed to kill a goat by just staring at him, but if he did, I can imagine that, you know, his piercing eyes would break through and scare the shit.
Now, Sid, I understand you've also organised some fringe events, so we say. Like what?
Yes. In the sort of run-up to TAM London, we had a look at some historical sites... in London, so we went to the Linnaeus Society, and Carl Linnaeus was a Swedish guy who named all the plants and stuff before Darwin had his theory of evolution and stuff in. So all names have these Latin names, and they have like a front name and a back name, and he basically did all those. So we got to see all the boardroom and the society and all of these collections that are like over 250 years old in his safe that's kept underground in his basement that's supposed to be bomb-proof, but they haven't tested it yet. And hopefully they won't have to.
That sounds really boring. Anything fun happened?
No, not really.
Pub crawl?
Oh, yes. We did go on a pub crawl. That wasn't really a pub crawl. We started off as, you know, a historic tour around the sites and scientific sites around London, but only made it to two pubs. So technically it was a pub crawl, but it wasn't a very successful one, so I'm quite disappointed with myself.
Oh, I don't know. I happen to have been on that pub crawl, and people looked like they were enjoying it quite a bit, which is why they stayed at the second bar.
Yes, it was one of the nicest pubs in London, and obviously people coming from all around the world, and to meet people beforehand and hook up and get to know other people around is a part of what TAM's about. So the social aspect is a big part of this meeting, and a lot of people from around the world will make lots of new friends. So this is what my bits and bobs are about as well. And plus, you know, the educational side is quite good. So people from Sweden and stuff may have not seen it, and they've wanted to go to see Linnaeus' collections because it's a part of their history as well. And
you mentioned like the social side. I've heard people have even, you know, met and become couples and even got married at these events.
Yeah, I've heard that. Apparently, there's some video on YouTube, but I don't know who these weirdos are. I know who would meet over the internet and get married at a conference in another country. That's just balmy.
It's completely insane.
It's just nuts.
Well,
I don't think it's going to last, though. I reckon it'll be, you know, maybe divorce within a year.
Probably already are.
Yeah, possibly, yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Sid.
No, thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
Hey there, what's your name?
Joe Ronson.
And what are you doing here at TAM London?
Well, my dad wrote The Many Stare at Goats, and he was doing a talk about it.
Was the talk any good?
I didn't see it.
Have you ever seen your dad talk?
Oh, yeah, loads of times. Yeah, I've read the entire book, though, I think. Wait, maybe I haven't. But I've seen him do it before.
You're going to see the film, though, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it already.
Yeah. Is it good?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Is there anything you're particularly looking forward to over the weekend?
Not really. I haven't got anything planned, but...
Is there anybody you'd really like to meet?
Meet David Bowie.
Is David Bowie here this weekend?
No, but John Lennon, if he was still alive, that would be good.
I think they're going to try and get John Lennon for next year's, but he wasn't available for this year.
I think we're going to channel him, actually.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you very much, Joel.
Yes, welcome.
Hello, what's your name?
My name's Bruce Hood.
And why are you at TAM, Bruce?
I didn't have anything else to do. No, that's not true. I was delighted to be invited, and I came along to see these great talks, so it's been fab.
And you did a bit of a talk yourself.
Yeah, you're referring to the Chance, Romance, and Lucky Pants.
I am referring to your lucky pants,
indeed.
Yes.
I'm wearing them at the moment, of course.
Can we see them?
Yes, of course. Hold on a second.
I'm so sorry the listeners at home can't enjoy this.
Wow, what fantastic pants.
We're fantastic.
I know they're flesh-colored, but really I am wearing pants.
I'll be scarred for life. What did you think of the event?
My event was okay, but I mean, today so far has been phenomenal. It's astounding, absolutely amazing. It really is the right word for the whole meeting.
Is this your first Big Skeptics event?
It is, yeah, and I've been missing out my whole life.
Now, Bruce, I've written something for something called The Atheist Guide to Christmas, and what I've been doing today is going around getting everyone else who contributes to sign it. Now, I wonder if you think that makes that copy of the book somehow more valuable.
Of course, you mean you're talking about the essence of the writer.
Yeah, I think I'm investing this book with the essence of the people that have written.
I think absolutely, but you would do better if you had some biological essence. So I think you need to go around and ask for donations, or at least deposits of some form.
If I go and ask for bodily fluids.
Bodily fluid, exactly. Blood, preferably, but then something with a good bit of DNA. Maybe, you know, it depends how lucky you get, I suppose.
Yeah, this is true.
Can we borrow your pants?
Bruce, thank you very much for speaking to us.
You're very welcome. Thanks.
We're all skeptics together today, so we're just stopping random people and saying, what's your name and why are you here, sort of thing.
Okay.
And then, obviously, once we realise who you are, we will ask you something related.
Yes. Perhaps. Or unrelated, that might be fun.
When I say I'm John Ransom, will you go, oh my God!
Yes. Yeah, okay. Oh, wait, how about if we have you pretend to be someone else, and when he says I'm John Ronson, you can act like you had just overheard and come running over asking for an autograph.
Okay.
All right? All right. Really play it up, though. All right. Do you want to open it?
I'll do this one.
It won't be played right after yours. It'll be funny.
It'll be funny. That's the point.
All right.
Hello, what's your name?
My name's John Ronson.
John! I'm so happy to meet you. I love all your books. Can I have your autograph?
Yes, you can.
Thank you.
Child, I don't know.
I'm sorry, we're in the middle of an interview here.
No,
security.
Someone take him away and have him killed and eaten. No one says that.
Let me stay with him.
I am way too important for that.
So what are you doing?
Random child! Get out of here!
So what are you doing at TAM this weekend?
I'm giving a talk about the Men Who Stare at Goats, about the movie of the Men Who Stare at Goats, which is the movie of my book, which is coming out in a few weeks' time, starring George Clooney, Ewan McGregor, Kevin Spacey, and Jeff Bridges.
And I presume you've seen the film already?
I have. I've seen it three times.
And which one's playing you again?
Ewan McGregor.
McGregor's playing you.
Yeah, which always initiates a kind of, what I can only describe as an incredulous cackle.
Well, do you think maybe he'll win an Academy Award for makeup? That was harsh. I'm sorry. That was really harsh. It's the meanest thing I've ever said.
How far are you going to take that? So Ewan's doing full retard, is he? That's always the way to put it. That's good.
The truth is actually he is a bit hunched and nebbishy in the movie. He makes a kind of vague, handsome effort to sort of slightly channel the very sort of shallowest, sort of thinnest veneer of me, which is basically remaining like incredibly sort of handsome at 12, but with a slightly hunched, you know, rounded shoulder and a little bit of sort of
The listeners couldn't see that move, but I think the sound you made summed it up. he's like, he's Hollywood nerd, like how they have the girls in the movies and all you have to do is take off their glasses and muss up their hair and they're
so
pretty.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you like that? Can I take off your glasses and muss up your hair? Oh my God. Oh, yes. Ewan McGregor.
I'm not sure if the mussing was picked up on the radio.
No, probably not.
But he does turn out to be really, really good. I was slightly worried that you know, because he's so sort of handsome and good looking and so on. I mean, the gag of goats really is you know, that tiny nebbishy me amongst all these kind of giant beefy military men. But you know, Ewan McGregor actually really does sort of diminish himself, and he does look like a kind of weedy guy amid the giant fabulous sort of Clooney's of the movie. So actually that incongruity is still there.
Alright, good. Yep. And what do you think so far of Tam London?
Oh, it's great. I saw Brian Clocks? Yeah. And apparently
you didn't say that to him, did you?
No, and you know, he's so brilliant, they named the clock after him. He was quite amazing. I was on straight after him, so I was slightly worried that, you know, Mr. Unbelievably Clever comes along, and then Mr. Stupid Clown follows him, like the kind of Mr. Ha Ha schmuck, you know. But it turns out that people like funny as much as they like clever in the Tam world. So in fact, you know, I was adored as the Brad Cox of humorous journalism.
By the way.
Anyway, John, thanks for talking to us.
Oh, thank you, Neil, and thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you. Hello, what's your name?
Gia Milinovic.
And what brought you to TAM?
Well, I wanted to come here because there's some amazing speakers that you don't normally get a chance to see in a course of 2 days, and also to meet the people attending it. And we don't get that many opportunities in London to get all these people together in one space.
Who's the coolest person you've met so far?
I would say Rebecca Watson, probably.
Thank you for that very unbiased choice.
And what do you think has been the best talk so far?
Oh, crikey. See, I've had my baby here, so I've had to dip out as soon as he starts making noise. I've had to leave the auditorium, so I have missed a few of them.
Just say Brian.
But, well, I've seen Brian's talk so many times that I'm not going to comment on his. But I loved, actually, I really loved Ariane's.
Ariane's was fantastic.
Because
yeah.
it just showed how there's this huge group of people who hasn't necessarily organized itself before.
Yeah.
And it showed me that there's a lot of things that we can do as a group. We're very powerful and we can actually change things for the better.
There's obviously a sort of untapped energy out there that's
yeah.
waiting until someone discovers it, that you don't know that this sort of exists. That's
yeah.
Great.
So I loved watching her talk for that. It just made me feel all excited and I just want to go out and destroy the government and stuff, you know.
It's pretty much the greatest review of a talk I've ever heard. It makes me want to go out and destroy the government.
So it makes me want to riot.
All right, let's go flip over our car.
Yeah, exactly.
Gia, thanks very much.
Thank you, Gia. Hi there, what's your name?
Adam Savage.
And what brings you to TAM London?
Well, as one of the co-hosts of Discovery Channel's Mythbusters, I've been brought here to, I guess, represent the geek, skeptical television community from the US into the UK.
And I think you've done a very good job of it. The audience certainly seemed interested.
The hall is beautiful. It's really nice, and everybody feels really nice and close. You feel the audience reaction, which makes any talk much better.
It seemed to me that also a lot of it seemed that the energy level here at TAM London is the same as in Vegas, despite the fact that it's an American TV show. You guys are really popular over here.
It is funny about that, isn't it? We're in Mythbusters is aired in something like 130 countries now. We got off the plane in South Africa a couple of years ago and were accosted by a bunch of people going, "Oh, Mythbusters."
That was racist.
I knew this. I was waiting for this joke, and I said to all my Australian crew, "Oh, you sound just like those guys."
They hate that so much.
I know.
You mentioned in the talk that the Mythbusters that goes out in the UK is shortened and narrated as if you know an English audience for some reason wouldn't understand. What do you think about that when that happens?
I have no idea. I have not seen the half-hour UK cut, and I know that I guess it also airs on a different network in its full American version. I find myself hoping that they're cutting our episodes like into chunks instead of just boiling an hour down into 28 minutes or something like that. And given that, maybe it's fine. But
it might be better.
It could be. It could be.
They cut out all that boring crap.
We get complaints sometimes where people like, I see comments where people are like, oh man, that show is so boring. They just like, they take an idea and drag it out. And I'm like, are you watching anything else on television? Because we do like five things per episode. You watch other shows and they'll take one thing and make a full hour out of it. We're like, we're giving value.
That show is so boring. They do science.
they hardly blew anything up.
Exactly. Yeah, we got one of those coming up. We just spent 2 weeks doing bacteriological testing all over the place.
For?
Episode called Relative Filth. How dirty really are the things you come into contact with every single day, including shaking hands with Mr. James Heineman. And how does that rate in terms of other things in your house, your toilet seat, your light switch, etc.?
How does Jamie compare to a toilet seat?
I can't say the actual results, but I will say that after shaking hands, Jamie cultured some very strange-looking bacteria.
Something never before seen by science?
Yeah, they looked like little islands.
Another first.
Little coral reefs.
Adam, thanks very much for speaking to us.
Thank you.
Hi there, what's your name?
Hello, I'm Chris Cox. I'm a mind reader who can't actually read minds.
So, what are you doing here at a conference for skeptics?
I know, it's a tough crowd, isn't it? Mind reader, doing a show for skeptics? Ooh, I'm here because I'm a skeptic. I like to critically think, and I always kind of want to, I've always read about the terms in Las Vegas, and Tim Minchin, who's here, kind of turned me on to skepticism as a, he kind of showed me there's a world of skepticism, a bit like the world of religion, which is great. So having the opportunity to come and be surrounded by clever, intelligent people and get ideas from them and just feel inspired, it's great to be here. And then did a little gig last night at Robin Ince's thing.
Which was fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Are you going to be taking anything from the conference and working it into your act?
Yeah, you know what? Last night I got home at about 1:30, and normally after a gig I can't sleep for ages, and wrote a blog last night where I started quoting Carl Sagan, and then wrote a load of notes myself from the day of just ideas milling around my head, and there's all these thoughts already kind of coming into my head about how it was just so freeing for me to do a show to an audience that knows it's, like, you know it's bollocks, I know it's bollocks. Let's just get it out of the way and get on with it. And it's kind of given me lots of inspiration for the future.
So you've been here for the whole weekend. So what do you think have been the highlights?
Randy yesterday was amazing. Not only to see him in just such good shape and looking in such good health and being so... just not being grumpy. That was nice. It was great to see that. That was brilliant for me. I really kind of got a lot of inspiration from that. I've just kind of enjoyed seeing, listening and hearing and sitting and kind of taking stuff in. I think there's not been, other than, I'd hate to say the other standout highlights because everything has been a highlight for me.
Why don't you promote your blog? What's the address?
Oh, yeah. It's you can find me at magiccox.com or twitter.com/bigcox or facebook.com/ilovecox. And I should stress at this point, spell it correctly. It's COX. Otherwise, you'll see an awful lot of penises.
Which, you know.
You know, something for everyone.
There's an upside. Like, yeah, absolutely. Chris, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Hello, what's your name?
Hello, I'm Jane Goldman.
And what are you doing at TAM London?
I'm just here for fun and to, you know, see all these people that I've admired for so long talking, and brought my three kids along, and we've all had an amazing weekend.
I love to see people bring their kids along, because, I mean, that is the best parenting you can do. Take them to a skeptics conference where everybody's cursing all the time and talking about astrophysics. Are they enjoying it?
They are loving it. I mean, they're all in their teens, just about. And I think it's excellent parenting, if I say so myself. It's been an amazing weekend for them, and I think it's so nice for them to realize that there are other people like them and like our family out there, because it can get pretty lonely sometimes being a skeptic.
And I wasn't being sarcastic there. No. I actually do think it's good parenting. just to be clear.
Don't worry about that. I know. And the cursing, they hear worse at home, I'm ashamed to say. And I think there was an apology from Ariane yesterday aimed at Harvey, I think, my son, who's in the front row. But it was like, seriously, you don't know how often he hears that word.
So, Jane, you do a... a television program that's about sort of the unexplained, which Rebecca here, being American, hasn't heard of. So please tell us.
I don't anymore. This was about sort of 7 years ago. And
oh, about
I wish I was much younger then. But no, I don't wish actually, because it was a hideous period of my life, and I'm really glad Rebecca's never seen it. It was a failed experiment on my part to try and bring some rationality to the channel over here that is, puts out some of the most heinous output. I probably shouldn't be saying this, but you know what? I'm really happy to say it. It's fine. I thought, it would be nice to provide some balance, but I'd not reckoned with the fact that I'm absolutely rubbish at saying what I think sometimes when faced with people who are mad but polite. I was in many ways the very worst choice to try and do that sort of show, because when put with actual people, I found it really, really hard to speak out, and I failed miserably, I think. And obviously there's the demands of the channel and what kind of show they're looking for. And a lot of people here have been very kind and said it was nice and cool the way that we managed to slip some skepticism under the wire, but there was nowhere near enough, and I often feared that I did more harm than good. But I'm really glad that people enjoyed the show.
You're so self-deprecating. I want to stop you before you go further, like just start literally kicking yourself to death. I haven't seen it, but I'm gonna just go out on a limb and say it wasn't a failed experiment, if for no other reason than when I asked people, oh, who's that, because you have amazing hair.
Thank you. It stands out
in the crowd. It's very bright, pink, reddish, and everybody said, oh, yeah, no, you love her. She did this program, and people have talked about it, and it's all been glowing.
Oh, so, thank you, God, that's a massive. I was scared that I was going to show up here and get stoned to death, and have people go, what's she doing here? Is she made a mistake? Is she in the wrong place?
Burn her.
Yeah, I know. Or think I've gone through some odd sort of reform, or I don't know. But no, I mean, my position has always been a skeptical one, and I just but I think I was a little wishy-washy in the TV show.
Do you have any projects in the works right now?
Not along those lines. Now I quit doing TV because I'm also a dreadful TV presenter, so apart from that, I've always been a writer, and I'm still a writer, and I work in the film industry now, and it's very, very nice being on the what I believe to be the correct side of the camera, just behind it. So yeah, I'm a writer and producer.
I was going to say you probably got a lot of love for Stardust, because that was awesome.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you very much. No, I'm very proud of that, and loving doing that kind of work. But if there was something that I could do to further the skeptical cause, I certainly would. But it's tough. I've pitched other shows that were more firmly skeptical to TV companies over the years, and I also produce for TV and co-own a TV company. But it's I don't know, there's always a lot of concern with, what it's like, with the people who commission shows are always terribly, it just depends who you get, but I've not got lucky, and they're always slightly horrified by the things that I've pitched. The best one being that I said it would be amazing to make a documentary about, and I pitched it to a couple of big channels, a documentary about Randy's Million Dollar Challenge and follow people on there, but what if no one wins?
That's sort of the point.
but where's the point when they say that you think, okay, I'm not hiding to nothing here. Yeah. But I won't be presenting again, but I'd certainly be interested in making more TV programs.
Well, let us know if you should ever happen to push a skeptical project through
Well, thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you for talking to us.
A pleasure. Thanks.
Hi there, what's your name?
My name is Richard Wiseman, and I'm a psychologist.
Why are you at TAM?
I'm here because I'm comparing TAM. I'm holding it together. I'm the mortar between the bricks. I'm the gel in the jelly. And I'm just having the most fantastic time.
I always thought of you more as a peanut butter to the jelly sandwich.
No, you're just thinking of my sex life.
I try to never think about your sex life, but
I am doing now, though.
Thank you for putting it into my head. And
last time I had sex was with a suffragette, and she was chained to the railings at the time.
Okay, well,
That is such a great joke.
It's a one. It's a really good joke.
It's offensive on several levels.
Loads of levels. I love that joke.
It left me speechless. Which, as you know, is difficult.
Yeah, I nearly used it earlier on actually, but I thought I'd pushed it far enough with
the prostitution joke. That was a good joke.
That was
a frisson.
You could just hear it. That was as far as they were going to go.
Right. Well,
we're doing that tonight.
Speaking of none of that, you do a lot of these shows. Why don't you rate the audience? Give them a 1 to 5 stars. What do you think?
Well, actually, genuinely, I would give this audience a 4.5. I do lots of these shows, and there's about 500 of them, but they are sitting there for a long time. They're 3-hour stretches sometimes, and it's hard to keep their energy up, I mean, from their point of view. And they're great. They're great. They're good questions. There's no mad questions. There's no long questions. They are giving the speakers, when they walk on, a really kind of, woo, kind of intro, and that makes a difference to the speaker. So, no, genuinely, they are a very good audience.
Okay. You gave the audience your cell phone number. Any perverted text messages, photos?
Only perverted text messages and photos.
So job well done, then.
I think so. I mean, people won't realise, of course, that's going live to my Twitter feed. But other than that, it's worked out really well. Now, I've had some delightful messages. People talking about the air conditioning. That's a very interesting sort of strand of dialogue. And where the book signings will be, that's another big topic. So, yeah, we're really hitting them.
Oh, can you be partisan and tell us who you think have been particularly good speakers?
I could, but I'm not going to. I think everyone has been great. I do mean that. I mean, sometimes compares say that, but I do mean it, with one or two exceptions. Everyone has been fantastic.
Richard, that's brilliant. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. And can we all put our clothes back on now?
Hi there, what's your name?
My name is Izzy Lawrence, hello.
Hello, and what are you doing here at TAM London?
I don't know, I'm drinking coffee at the moment because I'm trying to stay awake. I am here because I help run Skeptics in the Pub Oxford, and also I do a podcast called Sunday Supplement, which has an irreverent sort of skeptic theme, even though it's mainly just me taking the piss out of a grotesquely aging man. But there we go.
And don't you do something involved in some sort of comedy thing?
Yes, I'm a stand-up comedian. That is what I do. I've got to go to Bath in a bit. Not because I do need a bath as well, but I've actually got
I didn't
to
want
go.
To say anything.
Yeah, I smell of coffee and also just general skeptic rot. As listening to Brian Cox, basically all your pheromones go and you just end up exuding a smell which just says, maths. Quantum particles.
So, apart from Brian, who do you think has been the highlights of the show?
I mean, the sexiest. Goldacre's up there because he's just, sure. He's, Ronson's got the sort of cute little sort of like scuttling thing going on. I quite like that. Mm. I mean, I think in order to try and get him, you'd have to really harpoon him. Who else has been? Ariane. Oh, she is a hottie. A hottie, not a nottie. I mean, she's amazing. I think the level of, general sort of like fawness, we're getting there. We're not as good as, some of the, I bet, religious people, because God blesses them with good looks, that's the trouble. We've had too many atheists here, and we're all sort of slightly bitter, twisted with bits that are wrong. However, I've been enjoying, the porn, generally. What are we talking, where are we? Who am I? More coffee! Ha 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 ha. Listen to Sunday's Supplement. That's Sunday's Supplement.
Thank you very much, Izzy. Yay! Hi there, what's your name?
I'm Chris French.
And what are you doing here at TAM London?
I'm having a great time. It's absolutely fabulous. All the speakers have been brilliant, and the whole atmosphere of the whole event has just been superb. So, couldn't ask for more.
Any highlights?
Loads. I mean, we've just come out from seeing Tim Minchin, and absolutely fantastic. The video link up with Randy was wonderful. Richard, as always, has done a fantastic job of keeping the whole thing rolling along and keeping everybody entertained. And, the speakers. I've not seen Brian Cox speak before, and he was inspirational. Simon's talk, and Simon getting the award. Absolutely brilliant. And I mean, just all the other speakers. I mean, Robin Ince's thing last night, brilliant. It's just all been brilliant, really.
And of course, you are unfortunately not giving a talk today, but you did debut the new Skeptic magazine, right?
We certainly did. The new expanded Skeptic from 28 pages to 40 pages. www.skeptic.org.uk.
Yes. It's almost like you had practiced that.
Yeah, it's a nice kind of... I'm going for this kind of subliminal approach.
Right, that's
very
subtle.
Kind of slipping these things in very subtly. Yeah.
This is also, for listeners, or I'm sure they'll know, Will, is the... is the magazine that Little Atoms is.
Little Atoms is our official podcast,
oh,
and what a fantastic podcast it is.
Probably the finest in the universe.
Oh, I don't know about that. I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I think they're fighting it out.
Universe is actually in our name, Skeptic's Guide.
Well, as is the biggest podcast on the, you know, the micro level.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that I can't even give your podcast a plug without people misspelling it and trying to find the Little Atoms podcast as though John Adams, a very tiny John Adams.
How is he?
He's very small.
I think we should start a religious podcast. Okay, there's a sideline called Little Adams.
Yeah, little tiny first man. Yeah, there's two of them. They're twins. little fig leaves over the genitals.
Little tea leaves.
Chris, thanks for speaking to us.
Thank you.
Hello, what's your name?
Hello, my name's JC Long. I'm a stand-up comedian.
It seems like so long since we last spoke.
I know, I don't even recognise you.
I don't recognise you.
Well, I've got a very bland face.
How drunk were we?
So what are you? Why are you at TAM London?
I'm part of a religious extremist movement that has infiltrated the conference from within to take notes and spy.
So not to kill everybody, it's not a bomb?
No, this is phase one.
Oh, okay.
Soon as the phase two is tomorrow.
Okay, fair enough. Okay.
Looking forward to that. So what else are you here to do?
I'm performing at the Robin Ince show. I do a lot of performing with Robin Ince. I very much enjoy the fact that he does a lot of scientific, atheist, humanist. I don't mean atheist humanist is one thing. There was a comma in between those two things. Scientific, atheist, humanist,
yet.
You know, rational, sceptic things. And I love being a part of it. It's loads of fun.
So what sort of things are you going to pull out for us tonight?
Oh, fuck knows. I'm exhausted. I'll try my hardest. Probably just going to say a couple of anecdotes. I don't know.
Brilliant. We'll look forward to that.
Is it going to be sciencey or sceptical in nature?
There'll be... No, I think actually it might be about William Blake. Because that's what I've done most recently. I think that's what it's going to be about, like 5 minutes about William Blake.
Who's William Blake?
Oh my God. He's a poet and a sort of visionary and a nut job and an artist. And
he wrote, Oh, that William Blake.
Yeah, yeah. The main man.
He's a stand-up comic. He's all right. He's up and coming.
He tried his hardest.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing his stuff.
Yeah.
Josie, thank you very much for speaking to us.
It's a pleasure. I'm sorry to be so dizzy.
Thank you.
I'm pathetic. I want a big walk, and now, I'm good for nothing.
Sorry, we'll get you later when you're better.
Oh my God. No, I'll be out cold.
Hello, and who are you?
My name is Phil Plate, and I like long walks on the beach and holding hands and romantic moonlit champagne dinners. And I'm running out of material here. It's been a long day.
You never had any.
I mean, yeah, it's true. I'm here to run the conference. Is that brief enough? I don't know.
No, that works. That works.
And I'm not. That's the best part, too, is I'm just sitting in the front row and laughing along with everybody else. So it's great.
And how are you enjoying the show so far?
I am enjoying it so far. It's been terrific. It's different than the Vegas TAMs. There's a lot more swearing, but it seems proper and in context, as opposed to just thrown out there for shock value like Americans do it. So it's when Brits do it, it's very civilized, and I feel like I should be having crumpets and tea while they're using terrible, terrible language on stage. But in fact, it's been very cool. Brian Cox started off with, you know, high physics and cosmology, and so of course, you know, I was digging that. That was awesome. And it's been cool to hear from all these people who are, you know, basically heroes. Simon Singh, Ben Goldacre, Arian Shireen. It's just been terrific.
So it was interesting what you just said. So in the den of vice.
Something I said was interesting? You liar.
That was okay. Las Vegas. Is swearing looked down upon then?
No. It's just done in a much more crude and banal manner. No, I don't know. It's just we're Americans, you know.
It's just in a different accent.
That's true. You know, it's ah, not ah, I think, and things like that.
We say twat, you say twat.
Yeah, that's
very different.
That's what I was alluding to, but I was leading that up to the imagination of the listener. But
no, I'd like to.
Rebecca
has
smashed that lob, so we're okay.
Yeah.
That's another British expression, by the way. To have your lob smashed, but I won't go into
it's
what.
It's sexual.
I won't go into that.
I've never heard that.
No. Well, Phil will show you later. I'll leave the closet. You guys can continue.
Okay. You must be from the East Side. I don't know.
Yes, no, that's
I've heard of EastEnders.
At the moment, that's the
I've seen one episode of EastEnders because it was a Doctor Who thing. So.
That would be enough.
And it was horrifying to sit through that whole thing just for like one Doctor Who reference.
It's basically documentary realism, that is. I mean, that's exactly what it's like in the EastEnders.
Okay.
It's speaking of none of that, is it too early to ask about Tam London 2010?
Well, you know, there's only a few years left before the Earth is destroyed in 2012, so I'm hoping that we do get a couple of more of these in. I mean, we're talking about it. We'll see. We'll see how this works out.
Presumably, is it?
No, it's the Mayan calendar. So the Mayans are the Mayans. Will think they're going to be zombies. That's what I've read.
Mayans are going to come out of their graves.
Yeah.
Murder us.
And they're going to make tamales and I don't know. I'm mixing up my cultures.
Racist.
Is that racist? No, don't. What is the Mayan food? There was some
chocolate.
Is it chocolate? Chocolate, but
cocaine.
Yeah, tamales. I guess that is just Mexican. I don't know. I'm trying to think of what there was something I wrote. Yeah, I'm racist. That's it.
This is not as exciting as a gamma burst or something.
No, but I'm burning on this tamale thing. I know it's something I'm thinking of where they wrapped it up, and I was reading about it when we went to Mexico, and I can't remember what it was called. Now I'm thinking of it as a tamale. Because that's the corn husk.
Anyway,
right?
So thank you, Phil.
No, we're not done with tamales here.
I think we are, actually.
No, so anyway, you can edit that out, right?
Skepticism and racism.
And so, that's right.
Together,
I love. I think this is going really well. And there are only a handful of, you know, really pretty good skeptics here. So you know, we're going to run out of speakers pretty quickly. But, you know, in case we don't, there will be plenty more to tap into, I think, and doing it here every year would be great. We already have people emailing from other countries. You know, they want to have a Tam Lithuania, and so I'm looking forward to that. Or, you know, Tam Luxembourg, I think would be great because the entire country could show up and it would be, you know, full house.
And it would be awesome. Very interesting.
Yeah.
There
or Vatican City. Great, that's even smaller. So, but you know,
come.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
So you, Phil, you were recently made the president of the James Randi Foundation. So tell us, I mean, basically, what is today for? Why are we here? You know, ultimately.
It's a fairly philosophical question. I think. Well, you see, 13.7 billion years ago, there was a lot of talk about it for a long time. We have a lot of British folks who come over and give talks and show up at TAM in the community. We know there's a big skeptic community here thriving, although now that Rebecca's moved here, I'm sure it'll wither and die. There you go. And so, you know, I came here a year and a half ago, did a Skeptics in the Pub, and there were 200 people, and I hear that that's sort of how many they get now. 200 people show up all the time. So clearly, strong community here, UK skeptics and, you know, Scientologists and other folks. And so it just seemed like a natural thing to do, that this would be the first one we would do internationally. You know, there are other countries like Australia that have a strong skeptical contingent. And so any place where there's a good community, you know, we'd love to do that and help build a community there, find out who's there, tap the big skeptics, so that they can come and give talks and spread the word. A lot of people in America know about Simon Singh and Ben Goldacre, but maybe not like household names, not like Penn and Teller or Adam Savage, that sort of thing. So if we can do that as well and give the guys here an international audience there and vice versa, then I think that would help a lot.
Great. Thank you very much, Phil.
Thank you.
So what's your name?
Christina Martin.
And what are you doing here at TAM London?
I am standing in a cupboard surrounded by chairs and glasses for the conference team being interviewed.
Are you a little turned on?
I love it. I love it in the cupboard. It's the best place to be here. It's been fun. I want to stay here.
So once we've left this cupboard, what do you intend to do later?
Well, at around 7:30 p.m., I intend to go up to a room and do some comedy. But, you know, it could pan out differently. We don't know. I haven't given an agenda or any idea of what's going on, so we'll see.
So your goal is basically to just go be funny.
Yeah, that could be not possible. I don't know. It's the toughest crowds are sometimes the people that agree with you. Because you need a bit of friction in comedy, and
absolutely,
there's no friction here. So everyone's going, yep, preaching to the choir, yep. And so I might just flip it back and preach a bit of God at them or something. I don't know. Annoy them, wind them up.
So how excited are you to be performing at TAM London?
Well, I hadn't heard of it. I have to admit, I am a terrible atheist. I don't have any of the membership details to hand. When I got emailed about it, someone said, are you going to the amazing meeting? And I thought they were high. I didn't know what they meant. And I just replied really sheepishly going, I don't know. What is it? And they just said, oh, it's a comedy there. So I just come and do my job. Okay, there's comedy there. Whatever it is, I'll come do the comedy there. It could be like an Islamic event with loads of people in burqas. I don't know. I'll just
that one was brilliant.
That would be a great gig. That is the kind of thing I live on, is people that are potentially going to kill me. Not people that are going to go, yep, mm-hmm, I agree.
Well, I mean, you know, you could come to America. We have guns there.
Oh, see, that would mix it up. That would be good. I've had knives, but I haven't had guns yet. I want to rack it up a bit. I want to go to Iran and have nukes being just trained at me or something. I don't know. But, all joking aside, I'm sure there'll be a lovely crowd, and I'm sure I'll have some fun of some nature, you know, like just... I'll poke a little bit of fun at what they're doing, but I essentially agree with them, so they're all right. They'll be liking it.
Well, maybe we'll ask you afterwards to review the crowd for us.
Yes, and if I've sort of failed miserably, maybe I might be in the cupboard. So, yeah, this is it. I'll be in here. This is where you'll find me if it goes wrong. If it goes right, I'll be out there.
Quietly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks so much for talking to us.
Hello, and what's your name?
My name's George Harab.
And what are you doing at TAM?
I'm actually, you know, I just realized I had the divine honor to be the first American to present at TAM, officially present at TAM London, ever, the very first Yank to do it. So that's what I'm doing here.
That's impressive. Your name is going to go down in the history books.
That's right. That's it. It's in stone forever.
Can I touch you?
A little bit, if you want to.
Okay.
Now, the downside of that, of course, was that it was at 9:30 in the morning, if I recall.
That's right. It was at 9:30 a.m., which is the ideal time to sing songs about, you know, fish that swim up your penis. So it worked out well for that purpose. So yeah.
And what did you think of the audience? Give them a rating.
The audience was, you know, it's nice when you're singing to the choir that you belong to, but man, was it really super nice. I mean, this roar that came off the crowd was very welcoming, very open, even though it was 9:30 in the morning. And then afterwards, it was just as nice. And you physically get this wave of air that kind of hits you. And it was very, very nice. And smiles and people paying attention and stifling yawns in the most polite manner. So it was very, very good. So, yeah, I could not have rated the audience better.
You even managed to get them singing along to one
of
your hit songs.
Yeah, not just skeptics singing, but English skeptics singing. So yeah. That was something. So I was very pleased with that.
So tell us quickly the story of, you've just mentioned the fish that swims up the penis. Just quickly describe that in a bit more detail.
Yeah, you said that's so cool. It's, you know, anything with an accent just works so much better. There is a fish called the candiru, which when I first read about this, I thought this had to be fake. So I examined and found out that indeed there is a fish. It's the only vertebrate parasite on the planet. It's a needle fish that searches out the urogenital openings of mammals. Now, that means that when you urinate in the water, it finds, senses the urine, and then it swims up your, well, if you're a male, your penis. It lodges itself in your urethra, one's urethra, with reciprocating spines. When I found out this was true, the very first thing I thought was, that needs a song. And that resulted in a song called Cruel Spines.
Which we heard yesterday.
Yes.
Beautiful song.
Yeah, thank you. It's
brought
touching.
A tear to my eye.
It is a love song.
As I imagined, a
it is a love song. Yes. To my eye, every eye, to every orifice was tearing quite wholeheartedly.
I think it brought a tear to the eye of, I'd say, the good three quarters of the people in the room, to be honest.
Yes.
George, thanks very much for speaking to us.
Thank you.
Thank you, George. Hi there, what's your name?
Tim.
Tim.
Minchin.
And what brings you to TAM London, Tim Minchin?
All the nerds. And the love that the nerds have for each other, the kind of nerd love.
So how do you think the nerd love went? Because you just come off stage literally 2 minutes ago.
I felt pretty loved by nerds. I felt dripping in the love of nerds. It was good, huh? It's fine.
It's
weird, actually. They laughed at some things, but not necessarily at the stuff, because what I realized while I was standing there is the reason people laugh at my really skeptical stuff is because it's such an odd subject for comedy. Mm-hmm. So people are laughing because they're like, why is he going on about, like, I didn't do it today, but, you know, post hoc ergo prop to hoc on, it's a comedy show and he's swearing, but he's talking about Latin causal fallacies and that's funny in itself, whereas here, of course, it's expected. Well, so it's weird,
we just heard all that.
Yeah, exactly, that's right. It's like, you can't be funny about that. That's our bread and butter, man.
Well, you still got the laughs, though. The crowd was definitely with you.
I got, and it's different because I'm performing every night to lots of people who have paid and they're woo, you know, they're up for it. So it's different to walk into an afternoon of, but it was fine. I thought it was fine. I thought it was about what I thought it would be.
So you then pulled out to counter the sciencey Rangy stuff. Yeah, the nice, shall we say, sentimental song about Christmas, which I have to say, sitting in the front row, brought tears to my eyes.
That's good.
For a good
reason. Yeah, I like my Christmas song. It's funny. It goes. It sort of starts like my other stuff, like quite slightly sentimental. But you know, very much a bit preachy and stuff, and then it just goes, whoop, does a little sideways turn. As soon as you start talking about your kids, people just, it's like it flicks a fucking evolutionary switch.
Niagara
now.
Falls.
Yeah. How did you go as a cold-hearted bitch? Did you find it?
Didn't
touch
you? Actually melt my heart.
No.
No. Oh, well. I was like, oh, whatever.
I'll keep chipping away.
You're gonna have to.
But now there's another kid, so.
Nah, bugger him. He's a second child. He has to expect to not have quite the.
Well,
no,
it's
I'm
like
a second
hand-me-down. She just slightly changed the words.
Yeah. You, my baby boy.
Yeah.
My jet lagged infant
one of them
son.
Comes to each performance,
yeah,
fine,
that's right.
With.
Exactly. Yeah. Actually, I had that problem with that very song because I don't mention my grandfather because he's a funny bloke, and it wasn't so much a part of that picture I had in my head of what you do at Christmas. My gran's very much part of it. My granddad, even though he's great. But when he came to the show once, he came to my show once and then shuffled off, bless him. But I had to go. The second chorus, I gave him a shout out. You know, he didn't care. He couldn't hear shit.
You should have just said grandfather doesn't rhyme with anything.
Yeah, that's exactly. But it does. Spam mother.
Well, and you've got another big exciting thing coming up with the Storm video.
The movie, the massive smash hit, 50 cinema release.
It looks awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. It's good. It's the boys doing it are right on the kind of right in the zeitgeist of all that kinetic typography and stuff, and it suits the piece so well because it's such a wordy piece that the animation crossing with typography just it gets the right amount of cool with the right amount of preaching, because when you see text it slams it home, you know, slam it home, baby.
And can we briefly talk about Matilda?
Matilda.
Yeah.
That's not how it goes. Yeah, I'm writing a musical of a Roald Dahl story. I'm writing songs for it, yeah.
Yeah. When's that going to be done?
Late October, next year. 10, not this year.
Okay, good, because I'm going around.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be in Singapore.
Why?
Because it's fun. This isn't about me. It's about you.
Well, you're not going to live there.
Definitely not.
No, I'm coming back.
You're going with your husband?
No.
Just yourself?
Yeah.
2 days, actually. When? In November the 20th. No. You won't be there.
Yeah. Anyway.
You could hang around. Just wait.
Might.
Just stopping over there.
I'd kind of like to see my husband.
You haven't seen him much so far. Why would you start now?
It's true, actually. I'm kind of sick of him already.
The marriage has worked.
Yeah, no, it's true. What else? What else we got?
Can we stay together? See what happens.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I figure half of them break up anyway, half of the marriages. So.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, why am I going to put a lot of thought into it?
Yeah,
it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, it's crap. Yeah, totally. It's a flip of a coin.
Just might as well just do it. Okay, well, Tim, thank you very much.
That's a pleasure. That went awful at the end, didn't it? Like,
it was
good, nice,
terrible.
But sort of.
No, it was awful. Hi there, what's your name?
I'm Simon Singh. I'm a science writer, and I'm here at TAM London.
And what brings you to TAM London?
I was talking about my libel case, chiropractic, libel reform in general as well, which is kind of the big issue that I'm interested in. How can we change English libel laws?
I think I've heard something about that, and speaking as a new transplant to your land, it terrifies me.
Yeah, well, as an American, you know, the land of free speech and so on, and we think we have free speech in this country, but the problem is journalists can't really write what they want to write, and what that means is that readers can't read what they really ought to read. So if we can, we really got the most notorious libel laws in the free world, so we need to change those so that we can actually have a press that covers the important issues in the forthright, fair, not malicious, but forthright and robust way things need to be reported.
Now, Simon, you were also the recipient of an award this weekend.
Yes, gosh, the James Randi first UK award for skepticism, which is fantastic, absolutely.
Well,
thank you. I mean, I was absolutely speechless, a little bit emotional, which is very, very rare for me, because Randy's long been a hero of mine, and when I got into this libel trouble, Phil Plate and Randy emailed me and just said, look, we've got your back, and that kind of support has been incredibly important. So to be recognised in this way was very humbling, and I was also able to announce at the same time as receiving that award, I was able to say that I'm going to be a father next year.
Congratulations,
which is equally wonderful news. So
congratulations. Is this the first time?
Yes, first time.
Really knows
her. Yeah, no, it's, although I'll admit to. No, it's a first time, and it's going to be a wonderful, and as I pointed out, it's going to be born next spring, which means it's going to be a Taurian child, but I don't think people around here buy into that in a big way.
I know, I think Tauruses tend to be sceptical, so...
Oh, well, that's good. Yeah,
Simon, thanks very much for speaking to us.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Simon.
Thanks a lot.
Hi there, what's your name?
My name's Tracy King.
And what the hell are you doing here?
Apparently I organised Tam London.
Did you?
Apparently so.
Oh, look at you.
I know.
All by
myself, yeah.
And how do you think it went?
I think it was amazing. I didn't get to see all of the talks, but the feedback has been overwhelmingly positive. And to be honest with you, I could not be happier with how things have gone.
I think that could be said about all the people here, actually, because all I've heard have been positive feedback. So there's your head getting a little bit bigger for you.
Yeah, and which, you know, who thought that was possible? TAM's traditionally in Vegas. I've been to three or four of those now, and I always say to people that, yes, you go for the speakers and you go for the amazing talks and the education side of things, but for me mostly it's about the community and the opportunity to meet like-minded people. We all sit in offices where you keep your mouth shut because someone's talking about horoscopes, and you go to TAM and you don't even have to have that conversation because everybody's got a common underlying philosophy, and that's an amazing feeling to be around 500-600 people who are all like you. And then sometimes you've got other stuff in common and you make new friends, and it's the start of something beautiful, and you get married
sometimes.
On stage. Sometimes. Just sometimes.
Did you do that this time around?
Did I do that this time around? Yeah.
Yeah, good.
How many times?
Four or five.
Yeah. Right. Is there anything you'd like to say nice at this point about lovely Royal Mail?
The Royal Mail have done a fantastic job in completely ruining my life. They decided to have a postal strike specifically to ruin TAM London planning.
They're probably a bunch of creationists.
Yes, that's
just
exactly.
Is this a conspiracy, do you think?
It's not a conspiracy theory. I have evidence because 400 of the 600 people at TAM London were postmen. That's not a coincidence. So what happened, for those who don't know, is the delegate badges, we thought we were very clever by sending them out in advance in order to avoid people having to register on the day. And the Royal Mail decided to strike, and at least half of them went missing. And so we decided, instead of reposting them because of the continuing strikes, that we would just make everyone queue for about 40 minutes to get in on the day and register, just as we had attempted to avoid.
Well, you know, the real humour about this, though, is that in about 6 months, people are going to start getting their delegates badges.
Yeah, and they'll be able to remember it.
We will laugh and laugh.
Remember that song? Yeah. Line. Oh.
But, you know, I mean, I don't particularly know what Royal Mail are striking about, but what I do know is that I had an incredible team of people who, at the last minute, pulled out all the stops to make sure that everybody got registered and on time, even to the point where our printing system went down, and so I had Rachel King and Shalini Singh, that didn't mean to rhyme that, writing delegate badges by hand for people, and just, you know, with the biggest smiles on their face in order to make everybody feel welcome. And it was just a fantastic effort.
Is there no one else you'd like to thank while you're at it?
There's a huge list of people that I'd like to thank. Now, this is funny. I'd like to thank my mom. I'm not receiving an award.
This is going to go on forever, isn't it? We're going to have to cue the music.
And it's not that she's, because she's given birth to me, but she's 63 years old, and she's 62, she'll kill me for that. And she came and she co-ran the merchandise stall, and she worked as hard as anybody. And I think that was probably the most amazing thing about the whole meeting, because she doesn't even know what scepticism is. She does now. Brian Cox told her.
Good, good. Does he know? I don't think he knows.
I'm not sure.
Thank you.